proposed would require a lapse of all the healthcare districts without exception if the district meets certain criteria. It is my understanding that the criteria were chosen to narrow the bill's application to only to Eaton Township Healthcare District. However, other LAFCOs indicated at our CalAFCO legislative committee meeting that the bill might apply to healthcare districts in their counties as well. And in general, because the proposed legislation diminishes LAFCO authority by removing the commission's discretion, CalAFCO has indicated that it will most likely oppose the bill unless amended. And the most significant amendment that was discussed at the meeting was to clarify that healthcare district dissolutions should follow the typical route for a special district dissolution. Currently, the law provides that a dissolution of a healthcare district requires confirmation by the voters of the district, and no other special districts have that requirement. There is, however, the provision for a protest hearing, and based on the outcome of that protest hearing and the thresholds that would need to be met, there could be an election of the voters in that district, but it's not required as currently in the law. And in 2011, there was an attempt to clarify that healthcare districts would not be subject to that election requirement, but unfortunately, the law that was adopted did not fully clarify that provision in the law, so there's still some ambiguity. At the CalAFCO legislation, at the legislative committee, there was discussion that one amendment that might be offered is just to strike that provision in the government code that requires dissolutions of healthcare districts to be subject to elections. That would preserve LAFCO's discretion to consider proposals, but would remove that particular election requirement. Regarding the dissolution of the Eaton Township Healthcare District, as mentioned in the staff report as well, LAFCO did a SPEER update process and a municipal service review for this district. The municipal service review was considered in 2013. At that time, the commission adopted a provisional SPEER for the district and had them come back in a year and do an update. And in 2014, the commission adopted a coterminous SPEER of influence for the district. Because it acknowledged that while the district did not own or operate a hospital, it was still contributing to the health care of the district residents and property owners and taxpayers. At this point, I wanted to mention that LAFCO has received no application to dissolve the district, which could be initiated by any affected local agency, or it could be initiated by registered voters or property owners within the district. To date, we have not received any such application. At this point, staff just request direction regarding this particular piece of legislation and whether the commission wants to take a position on the bill or provide comments to the author. And I also want to mention that the CalAFCO Legislative Committee next meets on March 18th, and they are interested in what the CalAFCO discusses and takes action to do, if any.
I don't want to say too much because I had more questions about, because I understand the county is sponsoring this bill. And this is the first we've heard of it. And I would have thought that we would have been told about it beforehand. So I'm more interested in hearing what, how it came about, and maybe you guys would like to talk about that. But I know I have technical issues with it. I mean, it's not even the Hertzberg Act. I mean, that's not where they're putting it. It's almost like trying to hide it somewhere else, which I don't understand. It only has to do with LAFCO matters, but that's besides the point. So I guess I'd like to not say too much and understand the genesis of this. I was wanting to question the reason for the existence of this district, amongst other people. And they went a long way to address the needs of the community and trying to provide services to the community. And so, they don't fly back to them. They own real estate, which they just rent out to Palo Alto Medical Foundation and Valley Care, et cetera. And provide grants with good reasons and kept them out of the district. I mean, they all do good stuff. I just didn't understand necessarily why it had to be a district, why those services could not be provided by the private sector or by a charity or by someone or by the county. So I was kind of I'm confused as to why this all of a sudden came up as an issue. I would have thought that if somebody wanted to make this, to go toward the solution, we should have been brought up during our process for a municipal service review. I mean, somebody should have said something. No one did.
And the only information that I can share that I found out from the genesis of the legislation is that the district, I believe it came from one county supervisor who felt that the district had made a promise to support San Leandro Hospital a certain amount and then did not do that. And I can't explain how it went from there to this legislation, but ultimately this legislation was the avenue chosen to, I think, pursue that outcome of getting support for San Leandro Hospital. That's my understanding.
It's pretty accurate. Sometimes it's retribution.
Pretty accurate.
Well, come on. Yeah, I'm an asshole guy. We don't play like that.
Wow.
So I guess I would just want to know from the commission if you're, because this bill, as it has at the legislative committee level, the bill does not name a specific district. It's very general. And so CALAC was paying attention because it could affect other districts.
Well, I would say I agree with you, Mona. I'm sorry, Aaron. It's specific. It says this, that has this, and then you go, well, who does it apply to? Only apparently one in the whole state. I mean, it may be others, but it was intended to be a definition that would fit one particular situation. So it's not general. It's specific. Just as a name, if that's what you mean.
Well, except that I asked my colleagues at the Ledge Committee meeting, not every single act was represented there, but a couple of them said they thought they had health care districts that criteria might fit there. And I didn't investigate, I didn't do full research to see if that was true or not, but it does seem like it's possible, the way it's written, that it could apply to other districts, and one option would be to suggest to the author that they name the district if that's what they're after. But I, as I mentioned before, I know CalAFCO is going to have an issue with the fact that it diminishes LAFCO authority by having state law tell LAFCOs, because it's not specific to Alameda LAFCO either, to do something. So it removes the process of going through municipal service review and doing a sphere update, which involves allowing for a public process locally, and I guess I'm just looking for direction from the commission about whether you would be interested in sending a letter to the author with some of those comments.
Is this how we do business? I don't think so.
What do you mean by that?
We don't typically do business under the table, and
this is under the table.
Well, it lacks in clarity, and I think that it's a left-handed way about going about it.
I would disagree with that.
Okay. So would you suggest sending a letter of support, or just wait and see attitude?
Like I said, I'm the asphalt guy. I'm not the healthcare guy. It's not even my district. And I'm not the supervisor chairman, and I don't sit on the health committee. I think I would benefit from Miley's wisdom on this, along with Supervisor Chan, and IA. All three of them are kind of connected with that district. I'm a little bit removed from it. So, I would draw a support position. I'm not sure. I didn't sense from the discussion around this table that that's what's wanted right now. I could feel that you would garner my support.
Well, in that case, go ahead. Mr. Wiesner?
The third word to me was deceptive. We went through a long process, set through hearings, We got feedback. They changed some process. And I think we all became convinced that, well, it's not the hospital. It's doing a lot of hospital things these days. I don't know about you, but I am very aware that hospitals, like Valley Care, obviously is now part of Stanford because that's what they had to do to continue to exist and be effective. I think we became convinced or we wouldn't have moved forward with our approval. So I don't understand why that wasn't part of the process. I guess that's my biggest problem. If there's a real problem from the county, I think it would have been nice to let us know about it.
And I don't think this, I don't think this discussion really had, I don't think the author of this bill or the supervisor, not really quirk, but the supervisor maybe even had any idea that Lafco really was dealing with this issue, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I don't know. If you asked them about an MSR, they would have no idea what that was. So I don't believe that the supervisor was in any way being deceitful at all.
Well, I would just like to just respond to that by mentioning that Supervisor Chan is an alternate commissioner and therefore receives all of the agenda materials. And I can understand that, but I'm not sure what other avenues we would have taken.
So I'd be curious to hear from Deb about the San Diego Hospital, what happened there. I mean, that seems to be the issue that Supervisor Chan
has. I think I reported your when we were having the chair at this time. We provided a lot of support to San Diego Hospital. Right? For one thing, the district turned over the hospital based on the purchase agreement, which was disputed again because we got a lot of encouragement all the way from Senator Corbett at the time. She was Alice Lampitker, many of the city council from San Diego and so forth, the mayor of San Diego, all urged us to sue to keep Sutter from taking over the hospital, shutting it down, which was their intent from the time they came to us and suggested we buy it and lease it to them back in 2004, because they wanted rehab beds, which are it's a well-established need in the community, in the county, and in the whole Bay Area. And they needed to be replaced and, in fact, expanded. Because the last study we did with St. Louis suggested that there might be a need for 100 beds. So that's a long-established idea. The district has committed today between what it has paid and what it is going to pay to Sutter in the form of damages for keeping the hospital open, $50 million. That is more than 50% of our hospitals. St. Rose has come to us from time to time. We seriously explored acquiring them, becoming a district hospital, and then went in a different direction with the management agreement back in 2012, I think it was now. We stand ready. In fact, we talked to a number of the cities, the Municipal Advisory Council and supervisors about the potential parcel tax to support St. Louis Hospital and San Diego Hospital. And for a variety of reasons, Supervisor Valle, who was leading that, decided to postpone it because there was opposition. People, there's too much demand for tax money in 2016. So from the standpoint of how much money we have given, the board of the district feels that we've committed a substantial amount of money to keep San Diego Hospital open. And it is open as an acute general hospital today. The grand jury investigated this issue, and their report in 2015 said that there was no formal commitment. The only commitment the district made under extreme pressure from Supervisor Chan, who made the deal with Sutter, which we were not a part. We established that over and over again, that the district would try to raise an additional $20 million. We had two financial, had two financial consultants who, in fact, said that we couldn't raise the money unless Sutter, as was mentioned, we only read about it in the newspaper again, we're not at the table. would turn over that money that we paid to them as damages to San Diego Hospital, or that would be the health system or the county to pay for that. When we tried to have those discussions, not negotiations, so we're trying to settle the damage claim, damages claim, which adds up to $50 million, $30 million that we already spent, plus $2 million we paid in the first installment, because after the commission agreed that to the sphere of influence, et cetera, we went to court to say, et cetera, we can't pay this, because what happened to them, the district wouldn't be able to do anything. And the court agreed with us and said, you have 10 years to pay this damage claim. So we're paying $2 million a year, give or take. If that could be monetized, we said, that's fine. But Sutter didn't want to talk. He said, we'll deal with that separately. So we didn't want to talk to us. So it's sort of hard for us, which point we made over now, is that hard for us to make a statement that says, we're going to give you this money, and you have to, it's your money that the court ordered, but you're going to have to give it to this. And we can only make a request and say we support that. We said that over and over again. We didn't want to hear that. As far as Supervisor Chan learned this, when the hearings were going on, she sent a letter asking that we pay this $20 million. And we said that the commitment was made. It was not made by the board. And in part of the discussions with a single board member, maybe, I don't know. I was not privy to them. Other board members were not. But the board's actual motion and sound was done in public, while there were people present from San Diego and Justin Valley and Hayward. I've copied and sent that to different people at their request to Alameda Health System and so forth, over and over with the interim CEO, and then to the, again, to the, after the permanent CEO was hired at Alameda Health System. So I think that the district has said that we put a lot of resources into this district. One hospital, we want to reserve the resources to other things. We have since committed to a partnership. As we reported here, moving forward with our strategic plan, we have a partnership with the clinic, with Davis Street. We have embarked on education, which is a need for both diabetes and mental health. Our mental health program, if anyone's interested, is next week, on Tuesday the 14th. Our location in Castro Valley, 30 to 7:30, we have a person who has had mental health issues who's dealt with it. Music is going to be our speaker. So we are embarked on continuing what we do for the community. And I have pointed before you, we don't just have medical office building. We have medical office building, but we require people to provide services. When a group of physicians came across from San Diego and talked about the problems with the building and how they thought the rents were too high and they needed to fix it, we've spent a lot of money upgrading that facility, which was neglected first by Triad and then by Sutter. And we reduced the rents for them. In other words, we do business just to rent and make money, which is perfectly legitimate, but they don't do that. We do it because there's a broad section of physicians from San Diego Hospital providing services. So I think the district's approach has been different. We simply take the approach that we met more than that, our commitment to San Diego Hospital.
Thank you for your comments.
My sense is that I think that since we have already looked at this issue and we decided that it was appropriate for them to continue, that we respond, at least to Cal Lapco, with a position in opposition to this legislation, with a comment that we have a similar district in Alameda County that we have reviewed and approved and decided that it was appropriate to allow them to continue in existence. And that would be my recommendation.
My additional comment to Thomas, too, is that it seems lately either they do not know or they choose to ignore the fact that LAPCO exists, and I mean they at the state level. This is like the second bill in less than a year that has another way to do something that LAPCO already does. So I think it's important that we not only say we oppose it, but we oppose it because there's no need for it. There is a system in place that can review this particular healthcare agency.
So I agree, but Deb, can I ask a question of you? So, do you mind, John, if I ask?
No, please.
Does the district have a position on this bill?
The district opposes it. The board has not formally taken a position yet. We've been trying to find out how this happened. We were as surprised as anybody else that this was proposed. We've not had a direct conversation about this. We had talked to a several member of Fonda who sponsored the bill that we had talked about, and that still is on the legislative calendar, or at least it's alive. And that was to provide clarification about the power of the district to place a parcel tax on the ballot, and if it passes, to fund organizations, nonprofits that we do not own.
So I guess what my position would be, I agree that we oppose, but I also would invite Supervisor Chan and Baye and maybe the assembly person to come and, this is what, if someone wants to make it easier for Eden to be dissolved, this is the place to do it, and come and talk to us and explain why it should happen. I mean, that's where I get to it very quickly. I mean, they've come to us a couple of years ago, or a year and a half, and maybe we would have done something. But this seems to be the place where it should go.
Maybe it requires a second letter. The first one took out last one indicating that we opposed. But the second one to the three members that Ms. Glenn just mentioned, inviting them here and saying, read your laws.
We explaining our position on
yes.
and why.
Okay, so we've got a couple of suggestions on the floor to send two letters, one to CalAFCO, and then secondly an invitation to Supervisors Baye, Chan, and some of the court to speak with us. That,
as long as we're clear for them, why it's
clear for
this position.
You see,
they understand
one,
the
text. Two, three, four heads got in. You said you enjoyed. Okay, that work?
That works great.
Is that sufficient direction?
Well, maybe you should let me know what you just said.
Okay.
And I would just ask for one bit of clarification that the request.
I don't know if that was a phone. Is that a phone?
This is what it is. Direction. Okay.
The commission just talked about sending a letter to CalAFCO rather than to the author of the bill. And so I just want to clarify that the commission is not interested in sending comments to the author of the bill.
I think the point that Commissioner Spadaro made was to invite them to come to rather than tell that go with the position, and then inviting some of the clerk and Supervisors Valle and Chan to speak to the commission.
How can you send a letter to CalAFCO giving them a position on a bill if you didn't take a vote?
Well, that's the discussion we've had, and we can take a motion on that if you wish.
Well, I think you have to.
Okay, we can do that. But then you also asked me to hold it for the discussion until we get comments from Commissioner Miley.
Well, I just walked in. Before we walked in, I asked if that was voted. I was
no, it was after you came in.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter, John. The winner was, but I did ask if that was voted. Well, I was told no, it wasn't, and now I'm being told. Then you said that we're sending a letter of our position. Now, that's a different thing than what I was told.
So we need to take him.
Now you need to take a motion,
and we shall.
Can I also just clarify that if you're going to vote to take a position, it seems like that position should be communicated to the authors, the bill, rather than CalAFCO. And then we could write a letter to CalAFCO telling them that we've taken that position and attach a copy of the letter that we send to the author of the bill. But I don't think taking a position and communicating that to CalAFCO is the avenue that would be most effective.
Well, then, if we're going to be taking comments from Court Barrier and Shannon, do you wish to withhold or to postpone making a position until after we've heard from them. What's the time horizon?
That's a very good question, and I would imagine because their next meeting isn't until May 12th, that might be a little late in the process to provide comments to the author. But we could provide comments to the author that may not be taking a position, but just providing comments that this came up at the commission's meeting and,
it's an invitation.
Yeah, they're concerned.
And
we'd like to invite the assembly member, and we can invite the other interested parties to the.
And if you do that, you're going to have to clarify the position that we have taken as a group.
With Eden.
And all that we did there to get to that point, so they understand why.
Did they have this?
We're having this whole discussion. Because we went through a lot to do that, and I think that would be part of the assembly member understanding, and before we meet with anybody else. Don't you? Mm-hmm. I would just think that would be an important part of it.
Okay, Commissioner Lambert, you can weigh in on this.
Yes, I was in another meeting. This is pretty unusual. So I think probably, because I thought about what's being considered, but I think the direction that I don't hear maybe having the parties come and speak to LAFCO might be the appropriate approach for the moment. Recognizing that there are implications if General Supervisor Chen, she's not really opposed to LAFCO dealing with this, but she wants LAFCO to deal with it. And if LAFCO doesn't deal with it, she wants to try to take it through, get a legislative fix, and I do understand the implications for
LAFCO.
Yeah, exactly. So I think maybe having the parties come here to talk with the commission might be an appropriate next step. This is definitely it's different.
You can always have a special meeting next month. I'm sure we could waive our customary fee.
Let me make a suggestion, perhaps. I think CalAFCO does want to know, and I can report our deliberations to them Friday anyway, or next Friday, whatever it is. But it seems to me that maybe we do have a motion that, pending a discussion with the author and Supervisor Chan and or Valle, that we're currently opposed to the bill as written, after we have discussions, we'll give the author further comments and CalAFCO.
But outlining the part of our concerns
right.
revolve around the
right.
end run around
right.
Trying to circumvent the authority of LAFCO.
Exactly. How does that sound?
I can support that, John.
Okay. Can I make that motion? Yeah. You got that, Sam?
Kind of.
I mean, I'm going to read it back, Sandy, so that you can.
Okay.
Just so that we know. Okay.
I mean, I'm recording it, so I'm taking notes too, I think. Yeah. Were you recording?
The thrust of it was that Kevin Stewart wrote a letter saying that, as written, the Umby County LAFCO would not support. But because of our concerns about the appearance that they're trying to circumvent the authority of LAFCO, however, we are inviting the two of the members of the Board of Supervisors and the author of the one who's carrying the bill to speak to the LAFCO.
Okay.
Okay. And kind of agree with where you are at?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Do you have a second on that? I'll second that.
Okay.
Is there
I think basically on the discussion, I don't think Supervisor Chan really cared, and at that point, she'll just go fix it on her own, and she'll blow right past us. I think probably she was probably just maybe being a little cordial and trying to give us a bit of respect, but I think at that point, she'll just show us no respect and go on and do the wrong thing.
So LAFCO has no, even though she's an alternate to LAFCO, she
doesn't consider that we have any importance in the process.
All right, well, yes, go ahead. Move on.
Well, the purpose is already to serve that laptop.
I don't think so. I mean, she was given the laptop the opportunity to do something.
Is to go along with it, or is it to allow a process to go around it?
I think she was given a path through a process. Go ahead. I mean, it's, go ahead. I want to go for it.
There's
a reason we're all elected officials to come to a table and make our own decisions.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. I'm just giving you the option.
Well,
I would be remiss if I didn't tell you Chan's next move. I'm going to tell you Chan is not the type of politician that just rolls over.
Well,
she wasn't the majority whip for a reason.
And we give her an opportunity to come speak to LACO.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion?
I just have one question about inviting the assembly member and the supervisors to come to LACO. What exactly are we asking them to come present to LACO, or what exactly am I inviting them to do?
Well, to present, and also if the commission has questions regarding the proposed legislation.
So maybe to present the legislation and the reasons behind it to LACO and engage in a discussion or something.
Right.
Okay.
You all don't think a watch position would be something a little bit more prudent to take until you hear our side of the story?
Well, we can take watch, or we can take, as I said, it stands right now that this LACO, at least from the discussion I got generally at the table, that the LACO is not in favor of setting up a process to go around.
I think I know her personality a little better than you.
Oh, I agree. I know her by sight. That's about the extent of it.
Move on, Robert, man.
Okay, so we've got a motion and a second. Is there discussion on the motion? Would you please read the motion back, just so we've been discussing so long.
Okay, well, okay, so the motion is to send a letter to the author of the legislation, letting them know that your commission is opposed as it is currently written. And you will outline the concerns that you have because it seems that they're circumventing the authority of LACO, and then invite them to come and present
the reasons behind the legislation.
The legislation. Right, okay.
And address any concerns that the commission may have. Okay, so that's the motion. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, so it passes by the supervisor.
Did that motion include sending a letter to the assemblyman, Quirk, Supervisor Chan, and Supervisor Bonney?
Yes.
Okay.
And that passed the supervisor, Commissioner Hagerty, in opposition. Okay, thank you. Moving on to 9, the Calico Legislative Update.
So item number 9 is an update on the other Calico Legislative Committee activities and request for the Commission to consider submitting 3 letters of support. One is for SB 1266, which is a Calico-sponsored bill regarding joint powers authorities and having them file their registration paper, their contracts, or their agreements, rather, with LACO at the time that they are formed, and also filing any amendments with LACO that is not currently a requirement of law. And so LACO is kind of trying to look for a better connection for communication with these joint powers authorities to know that they exist. Many of them support or provide municipal services that LACO would be concerned with. Another bill is SB 817, which seeks to restore the ERAP funds that disappeared several years ago in some state legislation that several recently incorporated cities were relying on to be whole when they decided to incorporate, and so it sort of retroactively took away those ERAP funds, and it's just to support restoring those ERAP funds to those cities that were relying on that funding to be incorporated, be financially viable incorporated cities. And the third letter is to support the state's annual validating act, which is something CalLAF does every year, and it has to do with validating boundaries and various other things. And should the commission approve these letters of support, staff request that the commission chair sign them before leaving today so we could get them sent out tomorrow.
Comments or questions on the letters or the legislative policies? Okay, is there a motion?
So moved.
Oh, this is just discussing the direction.
Direction.
Is this direction, Andrew? Or do you want a motion on this?
I guess we need a motion as well, since there's letters of support.
Okay, so moved by Councilmember Commissioner Wieskamp.
Seconded
by Commissioner Johnson. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It passed unanimously. On to the changing meeting time for last regular meetings. The subcommittee, the policy and procedure subcommittee met last month and recommended changing the meeting time from 4:30, which allows everybody to leave at precisely the worst moment in the commute period and moving that back to 2 p.m. What's the pleasure of meeting with the commission?
What's the reason for this?
A couple reasons. One, most of the folks that are at the commission meetings are staff. Necessarily, the work hours are during the work hours of staff. Also, the fact that this dumps everybody out in the middle of the commute.
My staff goes home,
I think I've seen a member of your staff. They're working overtime. It was looking very sleepy there, too.
So that's the reason why. It's making more coming out for our support staff and makes it more convenient for the community. Moved. Second by Commissioner Santorio. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimously.
This is going to be effective in May 12th.
Great.
All right.
Yeah, so when we, yeah, just make a correction on your agenda that this commission meeting is not too
Diverse
to the yeah. Okay, so you're already at 11, 12, the fiscal budget work plan.
The proposed budget is presented so the commission can meet the statutory requirement of having a proposed budget adopted by May 1st and a final budget adopted by June 15th. The commission's policy and budget committee met on January 14th and February 19th to discuss the work plan and the budget. The committee members are Commissioners Johnson, Marchand, and Pico. And there were details provided about the budget and the work plan in the staff report, so I'm not going to go over those in detail. I'm happy to answer any questions that the commission might have. The proposed budget reflects a 4.2 increase in appropriations from the current year budget, primarily due to cost of living adjustments for the staff and employee benefits.
So with that, any questions for staff at this point? With that, I'll open the public hearing. Seeing no cards and no comments, I will close the public hearing. Do you have a motion?
Yes, sir.
Moved by Commissioner Smolarino, seconded by Commissioner Haggerty. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Yes, unanimously. Thank you. Reappointing, the budget adjustment request for carryover used funds. Subcommittee also discussed this.
So that's to carry over unused funds from the prior fiscal year for legal services that were provided in that fiscal year, but we weren't able to process that invoice until basically a month ago, I think. So we were unable to apply it to that prior fiscal year. We wanted to move the funds over because the bill was higher than typical, and about half of it was due to the Castro Valley Sanitary District's annexation proposal the commission considered, and staff working on completing an invoice, and we'll submit that invoice to the county for any costs that we incurred that were above the $7,500 initial application fee, which is our policy to do.
Okay. Do I have any questions for staff?
No, horrible.
Moved by Commissioner Thorne.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Wieskamp. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passed unanimously. Reappointment alternate public member.
Commissioner Pico has agreed to serve another term, and public members are, by LAFCO's policy, able to serve three consecutive terms. So this would be Commissioner Pico's second term.
Well, I think he's doing a great job. Serves very ably on the procedures and policy subcommittee, and I would certainly recommend if he's willing to agree up. Should I make that motion?
Sure.
Commissioner Johnson, I'll take it. Seconds. In session?
I was pleased when he applied, and I think as usual, he's done a good job.
I was involved in the interviews, and
that's
was very important, so thank you very much, and thanks for re-upping.
I just want to say that I really feel like this is a real valuable organization, and I'm really happy to be a part of it, and I'm looking forward to our involvement in the next few years of the Plan Bay Area.
And you are.
And you absolutely have. You bring a wonderful historical perspective as well, so certainly appreciate that as well. So we've got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
So Sandy, you said I can't. I don't think I can vote on this. I think I'm allowed to. I'm a recollection.
Really?
Yeah, I'm still going to have a vote.
Well, I think what you're recalling is that the appointment requires an affirmative vote from each of the other appointing authorities. I'm not sure that it disallows the public member voting, but you could be correct.
Count me in, but my recollection is
just looking that up.
I'm happy to vote for it, but my recollection is you're right. It's the city,
county, and special
districts are the ones that can appoint.
So, which we have.
You could confer.
So we got to, yes, right?
All whatever you want.
Okay, so one more time, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Unanimously, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any matters initiated? No. Informational items? Any questions on the informational items? Because I need to place someone seems to get busy and get re-ups here on the panel appointments. All right.
The only thing I will say is I have the CalAFCO Board of Directors update as a verbal update, and the only thing I'll say about it is there was a meeting on February 5th, and your commissioners, I believe, were in attendance, one in person and one by phone. I was not in attendance at that meeting. That's my verbal update.
Okay, very good then. We're going to adjourn to this regular meeting of the commission. May 12th at 2 o'clock.
Wow.
2 o'clock. Is that meeting adjourned?
Yeah.
Great.
Jeffrey, my number.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.